Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Spidories. We are in season two, which is shocking. Episode two. Of course, I am Bailey, one of your co-hosts, and I also have with me my wonderful co-host and brain trust for this whole podcast, Hyen.
Hi guys. Happy to be back.
So we hope you guys are having a wonderful week and things are going well. We do not have a guest this week, but Hyen came up with a really fun idea for what we're going to talk about on this week's episode, and I'm going to let her give you a rundown.
Yeah, okay, so just, I guess we can do like a mini lesson for our listeners.
I like it.
Yeah, so state of Texas has 13 disability categories that they recognize, and so we could list them if we wanted, but maybe we'll just put it in, you know, the description or something, but there's 13 disability categories that they recognize that are eligible for special ed services and related services. So I have a rant. You guys know we love our random generators, whether it be words or songs or whatever. We have our random generator for numbers. And so we're just going to generate a number, and I'm going to give Bailey a number, and we're going to associate it with the disability, and she's going to share a special education story, whether about the disability. So if she has a student, you know, that has multiple disabilities, we're going to share either a funny, sad, angry story about it. And kind of excited because we're going to dig up some stories that we know.
I love it.
So, yeah, I'm excited about that. So are you ready, Bailey?
I think I'm ready. I'm like going to rack my brain for stories, but I also feel like we have so many. It's going to be a, which one do I want to share?
Right. Well, it's because Bailey, you guys know, we always get on and we are always like recapping before we actually record. And that's what we do. It's like we recap about our week, our day, an email, frustration, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we've been busy since school started. So yeah, I'm sure we have a story this week. Yeah. But okay, so I'm going to generate it and then I'll tie it to a disability category.
Perfect.
You ready?
This is great.
Okay, so number 9.
Ooh.
Learning disability.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay, actually, I don't know if we've already talked about this on the episode. I feel like maybe we have brought this up, but I'm just thinking this is like recently impacted. Special education here in Texas. And I know we probably brought it up at some point, but within the state of Texas recently, literally just over the summer, House Bill 3928 was passed, which relates to dyslexia qualifying now as a specific learning disability. So like in our district and just across the state, this has been really beneficial for a lot of students, but for districts, when it comes to processes, procedures, how are you like changing from 504 to IEP to SPED services to not SPED services? Some families want their kids labeled as SLD. Some families are like adamantly opposed. And it's just kind of been kind of a mess, right? Like just a lot. But I was actually just talking with someone earlier today about like a personal connection to dyslexia, because I have a brother and a niece, both of whom are, you know, were diagnosed with dyslexia, but the discrepancy in terms of like the differences in their services, even just because of like the time period that all this was happening, is insane. So I guess special ed, but personal related story, right? So my little brother is the coolest person I know, and super funny, really great, wonderful kid. He was diagnosed with dyslexia back when we were in elementary school. So they identified it super early, but like back then, and this was like in the 90s. Okay. So it wasn't like the services were not the best.
Yeah.
They were really bad. And so like things that he would be provided is like another paper to put over his paper so that he could just focus on the sentence, the one line of words, right? Mm-hmm. Or I think they even did like, y'all remember those like colored overlays, like the clear ones that you could put over and it would change the color, because they were like, that'll help. And then they provided him with like large print as if that was going to help. And so like, he didn't really receive much intervention or support. It was just like accommodations and like, that was it. There was not any real, I don't know, specially designed instruction. It just wasn't that. And so like even now, he's like, I hate reading. Reading is the worst. I don't enjoy it. It's not fun. He ended up like, and honestly, it's cool, kind of funny now, but like he loves audiobooks. He loves like anything like auditory, visual, stuff like that. But just like print is just, he's absolutely not here for it. Yeah. So completely different situation in comparison to my niece, who is currently at third grade in a school district here in Texas, but actually not a large urban school district. It's actually a smaller school district.
Yeah.
And they ended up working with her and providing direct dyslexia intervention. I think she got it like 3 to 4 times a week with a dyslexia intervention program.
Yeah.
And within a year and a half, probably, she had like fluency, phonological awareness, all of that of like her typically developing peers, same age peers, which was huge. And so then they were able to transition her from, she also has ADHD and like some other needs. And so, but they were able to transition her like out of special education. They set up a 504 plan for her. She received, you know, accommodations like extra time and a quiet space, small group testing, those kind of things. But just like the vast difference, like she, the last time I saw her, had read the first Harry Potter book. Y'all, she's in third grade. This is huge because those are kind of big books for kids, you know.
So intimidating to pick up.
And like,
yeah.
Yes, she like picked it up. And y'all, and I think the other thing is like, and Hyann, you get this, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners who work in special ed and have family or friends or children in SPED, you will get this. Like, you kind of become that person's advocate. Like, I wish I knew now, or I knew back when my brother was diagnosed with dyslexia, what I know now about services, because I would have been like all up on that.
Right.
And even with my niece, like, I was all up on that. I was like, evaluations and timelines and IDEA. Right. And
yeah.
Like, you know, like,
I will come for you.
Much like, get this done.
Yeah.
And so, but it's great because just recently, the last time I saw her, she had picked up the first Harry Potter book, read it by herself. And then it was so cute because y'all, I'm also, I know I talk about Taylor Swift a lot, but I love Harry Potter. Harry Potter is my favorite. And so she had picked up this book, read it. She was sorted into Ravenclaw, which we love.
Right.
We love that. So yeah. She's all into it. She wants like a Ravenclaw outfit, costume, whatever. And then she was like, Bailey, so Ron sacrifices himself so that Harry can go get Snape. But guess what? It wasn't Snape. It was Quirrell. And I was like, no, mind blow. You know, just like acting shocked.
Yeah. Feeding into her happiness. That's so
cute. Yes. But it was so cute. And it was one of those where I'm like, you know, like I would not have thought even a few years ago. I was like, so I know I was anxious as a special educator. My brother and his wife were anxious. Like, you know, because it's just, it's scary. The unknown. Mm-hmm. Right. It's scary and it's unknown. But I was super excited to see that progress. And this was, I mean, like she was supported with this program before this law ever passed. So this was great.
That.
And supported through special ed because she, you know, they also identified her as OHI for the ADHD thing.
Yeah.
So she was supported through SPED. But it was just really great. And so I think that would be my specific learning disability story.
You know,
is my brother and my niece.
I love that. It's so sweet. And you know, one thing that's, well, I actually have a follow-up question for you, but one thing that stuck out is like a lot of the stuff that you were describing that your brother got, I really don't know because clearly I wasn't like old enough to understand, but like, was there a lot of evidence back then about how to navigate dyslexia? Because even if you think about like IDEA, right, and like the law that they passed about how special education students should be included and all that stuff was really not that long ago, if you think about it.
Right.
And, like, and when it was revised and all that stuff. And so the biggest difference that I heard from your stories was the fact that like your poor brother is getting like cover overlays and your niece is getting evidence-based
intervention.
That's the biggest thing. So whenever you say like 4 times a week, like that's literally what evidence-based says is like mm-hmm. 4 times a week for 30 or 45 minutes, like intense instruction. So it's kind of sad because you think about all the kids that like hate reading because of that, and like who are not getting the appropriate services even now, if that's the. But I did have a question. So you mentioned that like I haven't seen any parents get upset about like dyslexia switching to SLD. I feel like I think what I've seen is just like the misunderstanding, like they're just confusion. Well, like why isn't it 504? Like I think 504 is better, not really understanding what the difference is. But I have a pushback. Like what would you say is like the reason why they're pushing back? Because they don't want it the disability label or
I think that's a huge part of it. I, especially in the current district that I'm working in, and really as it ties to that evaluation component, we get a lot of parents who have kiddos in private schools who will come and be like, hey, like we need an evaluation. And in Texas, for all of our listeners, I don't know if this is similar in other states. I'd have to look this up. But in Texas, if your child is enrolled in a private school within a district's school boundaries, that school district is responsible for child find, which means they are responsible to locate, identify, and evaluate any student that they suspect may have a disability.
right.
So we get a lot of these referrals from families or from private schools in our area to evaluate students. And we've had, I want to say probably this year, just because I deal with our private school evals and parents and services here, we've had like three or four families come and be like, hey, my kid was identified, you know, I took them for a private evaluation, they have dyslexia, like we want to get that documented and get a 504 plan. And so having to kind of explain, okay, there was this recent law that was passed. This
Yeah.
is why we're no longer serving, or I guess even qualifying, quote unquote, a student with dyslexia under 504. That's not to say that
They
they
don't.
would never be able to transition to 504, but we start with special education and specially designed instruction. And I've had a lot of parents push back because they're like, I don't want that. I don't want a special education label. I don't want a disability category. I just want them identified, and
Yeah.
I want you to tell me what accommodations I can tell my private school to implement. And I'm like, I wish I could do that, but we cannot. So we
Which
have two
is,
options.
yeah. What and like, what's even more crazy though is like, I get the accommodations, but at the end of the day, it's like intensive intervention that is what is needed.
And that is the thing. If my story says anything, your colored overlays and your highlighters are
Your
not
big
going to
font.
be successful, right? Like that is not going to support your child's development or their like literacy and print awareness when they have dyslexia. Like it's just not. They do need that targeted, specially designed instruction and intervention. And so it's just, I think it does just come back to like, there are some families and cultures and just
That makes sense.
people that there is just like this stigma related to
Special education.
saying my child is identified with a disability and receiving special ed services. And
Right.
so kind of working with those families, we're really lucky because in my current district, we have like parent liaisons and social support specialists who can
Yeah.
also really sit down and kind of like break
Yes.
it down even more with families, which I think is good. But yeah, we did have three families decline. They were like, then we just don't even want the eval, whatever, we're good. So yeah, it's like interesting.
That is
I don't
interesting.
know. Yeah.
Well,
So
moral of the story, get the
yeah,
intervention. It's not a
we love it.
lifelong, it's not a lifelong, like, I feel like you live with dyslexia, but I mean like lifelong disability category that you have to carry with you. You
Right.
know what I mean? Like,
After a year and a half, my niece is now on a 504 plan. And she is doing wonderfully. That's not to say that like it'll be perfect forever. Right now she's in third or fourth grade. They're
right.
getting into like star
Yeah.
testing and all the things, you know.
Yeah, where she
It
might.
might be that she needs more support later, but like right now she's doing really, really well. And so
That's
I'm just so
really
happy to see that. And it's just such a stark
good. Different.
difference to what
Right.
was happening with my little brother.
Right.
And so it's funny, I literally was talking to someone about this not even like 2 hours before I got on with you.
Isn't that crazy? It was
I
meant to
know.
be. It was meant to be. But that
Perfect
is really
number generated.
right for you. That is just, I get it though. I guess I get like the fear and all of that. But I
Yeah.
think for me, like, I also think about kids like in college, you have to have that FIE, like to get those, you know what I mean? Like
Yes.
an updated FIE to get the services in college. And like, I just think about how many kids like flunk out of college because they don't have the supports that they need in college.
Right.
And they certainly
Yes.
could succeed. It's just they don't have what they need. And so.
Exactly. Well, and you know, like to that really quickly, like I think one thing that, and if you are like just getting into our podcast, we have a ton of guests that came in the first season who have children with disabilities. And one thing that they talk about is like, you go through the five stages of grief because you're just like in shock. And how did this happen? And what do I do? And how do I support? So like, I don't think it's uncommon to feel like shock and overwhelm and like sadness, you know, but it's also like, you don't have to like move. You can get an evaluation that says your child has a disability and requires specially designed instruction and literally do nothing with it. Like you can just have it, you know, like you don't have to consent to IEP services. You don't have to document that anywhere. Like it, but it is just, it's a good option to have. And at least like hearing out what the recommendations are, I think is so important.
Yeah.
Because there's so much that can be provided.
Absolutely. I mean, I even think about like Princess and how like that, her son, and how difficult it was to hear like how her son wasn't making progress and she had to like move to another district.
Yeah.
Essentially what she needed. And like, she kind of turned like her stages of grief into like advocacy. Cause she's like his advocate, showing up to IEP meetings and like knows exactly. I mean, and that's huge. And so, okay. So moral of the story, let's get the interventions. Let's, you know, work through that.
Yes.
But no, that was great. That makes me happy though for your niece.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So
she's adorable. I'm gonna
write my number, and my number is literally speech impairment.
I love this, Diane. Tell us everything.
Literally. Okay. So for people who are just joining, I am a speech therapist. So this literally like right up my alley. I got number 10 and number 10 is speech impairment. Wow. What are the odds? What is a speech impairment story that I have? Well, it could be all of them because all of our kids are speech impaired. But one I feel like that sticks out a little bit to me is probably that one's like threw me for a loop. I was expecting like
something totally different.
Right. What is something that just like essentially happened recently in life? Well, the ones that I can think of story-wise is like so I think we've kind of talked about this, about like how out-of-state students seem to be getting services in districts and whatever. And we recently, and I probably sent you a text about this, but this student just transferred from like New York. Always New York. And kudos to New York public schools. But this child was identified with a speech impairment, and his IEP though stated that he got speech services in addition to reading interventions because he had dyslexia, which kind of ties into the LD thing. So he was receiving services for both of them. And it kind of does tie in. I'm kind of excited. But anyways, so long story short.
So he was receiving services for both, but he was identified as speech only. Oh, I love this. So you're telling me you can get more than just speech when you're speech only?
I wonder if that's something that we've talked about in the past. I don't know. Just saying. It drives me literally bonkers. I'm like,
say it louder for the people in the back.
Louder, louder, louder. But of course, when he comes to this district, he's like, everybody's like, no, he can't get it. He needs additional testing in order to get it. I'm like, it's so far. Like, I promise you, like, something's going to come out from TEA that says this. I know it. I feel it in my bones. Like, they're going to have to show, like, give guidance about this because people are literally so stuck in, like, autism gets this and whatever. I'm not going to go into depth. But anyways, so he was speech impaired and he's getting reading interventions in New York. So they did do a reevaluation because I think it was due, essentially. He, like, transferred. And like what the great thing about it is he ended up not qualifying for anything, not qualifying for speech, not quali. And part of me wonders is it because he got all of that intervention when he needed three years in New York where he's getting speech services and he's getting reading interventions and like literally was excelling. Like we pulled his, report cards, we pulled like his testing. He was like above average. And so And then, of course, he didn't qualify. And his mom, when we talked to his mom, we were like, hey, just we want you to know, like, we did test him and these are what the results are. He's doing so well. And she was so happy because we were worried, like, yeah, he's coming from New York getting all these services. Like, is she going to be disappointed that we're removing his disability? And she was thrilled, so happy that he was getting dismissed.
That's so good.
Yeah. And so, again, people, give the kids the services they need, and then maybe they will get earlier and they don't need the support and they can go to a 504 plant, or they might not need anything. But she was so ecstatic that he got dismissed. So that's kind of mine, but it ties into yours, which is funny.
Well, I have two things. One of them is a statement, which is I always feel like people who work in special education, and typically like the people who I just like really appreciate working with because of like their knowledge, is like, the goal is to work yourself out of the job. Like, the goal is really truly not for a student to stay in special education for 18 plus years and get all the, like, it's like, we want them to make progress so that they can be dismissed. Like, that's ultimately the goal, right? You want to work yourself out of the job. So I love hearing this about him. That's huge.
Right.
But then my second question, because I feel like this comes up a lot, especially just like when you have kids transfer from anywhere, while in the process of evaluating, was he getting intervention for speech and dyslexia or no?
Yes, he was. So like,
he was getting both.
Yes.
Even though they were saying he wouldn't qualify. That's so good. Cause I see things all the time where like kids will transfer even from other school districts in the state, right? Like even from other school districts in Texas, and people will be like, this says he has a one-on-one, but I don't really think he needs it. So like, I'm not going to provide it. And I'm like, I'm sorry, you have no data other than I don't think so. So like, that's not how it works. Get this kid the one-on-one, and then when you have data to show it's not necessary, we can come back to the table to discuss. Yes.
Hard to discuss that.
Correct. It's shocking to me. I'm like, please don't do that. Please don't. Also, it's one of those where I'm like, would you say that to a hearing officer? If they were like, what?
It would.
How? Why did you not give the one-on-one? I just knew he didn't need it.
Right.
Okay, but how?
Right.
How?
Right.
You know, like, it just drives me crazy, and it's so interesting. And especially when they transfer from out of state with stuff, people are like, oh, but this is Texas. And I'm like, the child has an IEP. Like, I don't care. Provide the service.
Correct.
And then we're going to talk.
Right. And like, so for people that like are listening, the law clearly states too, that you have to provide services like literally similar to the IEP that's in place. Like, you have to, that's literally what is written. So for people to like argue, and that's what I will say, like, I was grateful, like, in this sense, like, the kid was getting what he needed and there was documentation to support it. But like, had they not and like just missed it, like, shame, like, that's wild to me that you would think that, like, you can just call it what it is and whatever you want.
I just know he doesn't need it. I'm going to take it out. I'm sorry. You've known this kid for 4 hours. Get out.
I think one of my favorite questions that I've ever gotten, like, I was doing a training about like goal writing and stuff, and I can't remember, like, somebody literally asked, like, well, what happens if like they fail, like if they don't make progress on their goals? And the guidance is, if they fail to like make progress on the goals on two grading cycles, you have to hold the ART and reschedule. And they were like, and I couldn't get to that until the question was asked, but she was like, well, what do I do? Like, just go in and change it. I'm like, no,
no,
you have to hold it hard and do it formally. Like, I know that that's a lot of work though. And I'm not literally dismissing the fact that we all have a ton of stuff to do. And like, holding it hard is probably not the first thing that you want to do, but you can't just go in and be like, I'm going to change this goal and not let anybody know.
It's so bad. I will never forget that. Oh my gosh. And it was just, honestly, this was in a previous school district that I worked in, and there was a really good advocate on this case. And we were working with a child who had a visual impairment. And specifically he had cortical visual impairment, which I may have touched on this in season 1, but I don't remember. So just like real quick recap of what it is.
Yeah.
Basically, there is nothing wrong with the child's vision. Like, this child has 20/20, 20/30 vision. Nothing wrong with like their actual vision. However, the way that their brain is processing visual information is causing a visual impairment, right? So like, certain lights and textures and colors, and like, it just impacts how they visually see things, right?
Right.
And so this kiddo had a cortical visual impairment, and we're sitting in the ARD at a table, because this is like back in the day when ARDs were in person. And this advocate is like sitting across from me, and we had gotten to a pretty good point, right? Like, her and I were good, and like we were all good. Her and I, the district, everything's fine. My VI teacher, who's been, and the VI teacher had been working for like well over 25 years. So there's one of these things where you're like, you know this, but also like,
do you know it?
But do you know it? Yeah. And he's like talking about it and like the goal that she's going to work on. And Mon had a lot of questions, great questions, but I think it was given this VI teacher anxiety.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah. And so like, but if this goal doesn't work, or he's not making progress, or it's not good, like we can change it. And you and I'll send you an email and I'll let you know what we're going to change it to. And then like, we're good. And I'm not kidding. You know, this advocate, Hyann,
yeah,
and you should
I
have
don't
seen
even.
Her face.
Excuse
She
me.
looked at me and she gave me like the head tilt, big eyes, and said, I think we're going to take a break. And I was like, oh my gosh.
I agree. Let's recess, please.
So we pause. I grabbed that VI teacher and I was like, I know you were just getting anxious, and I know that you know this, but we can't change IEP goals outside of IEP meetings. Right. I want you to know that. Like, it's not just an email agreement. Okay.
Right.
And she was like, okay, yeah. So I have done this before, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm done. Don't say anymore. We're gonna fix this later. But I can't handle this right now. Okay.
I'm gonna die. Literally. What?
It was so bad. And so then the very next week, I pull her into my office. I'm like, who have you done this for? Like this year. I need to fix this.
Can you send me the
and we're in
you
like
wrote,
January.
Please.
So we're fixing it all, whatever. And then I'm like, I'm not gonna call you out, but we do have to have a team training on this now. And she was like, okay, that sounds great.
Well, at least she was like receptive, and at least she was honest, because like other people would have been like, oh, I'm so sorry, that was a mistake, and not tell you that they've secretly been emailing parents to switch ARD meetings.
She was incredible. She like, and like, that's the thing, like she had her own student special ed, and I'm sure back in the day when they were still doing the triplicates, they did just say like, hey, here's a note, can you sign it, we're good to go. Like, they're not like, I'm sure they did, right?
No, for sure. There was no systems back then, like no understanding things. So totally.
But it was so funny.
Yeah.
So funny. Yeah. And that advocate, I will never forget that face, because I just knew, I knew that she knew that I knew
that was like
that
no
she had just caught something big. And I was like, dang it. It was really funny.
That is actually really funny. But yeah, that comes up. I was like shocked when like she asked, but I also understand like if you haven't had formal training on like what to do if they haven't been making progress on goals, and like what to do if you need to change a goal, like what that process is. So it was nice for the question, but I was like, please don't ever just go in and pretend that like you can
change
just
it.
Things and like make it go away. That's not how it works. But
let's not do it that way.
Yeah. So that was good. Those stories were gold for sure.
Love it. I love it.
Okay, so after, in our last episode, we said that, like, at the end, we might just do, like, a random, like, topic. And, like,
yes.
What? There's a generator for random topics. So
I'm ready.
So I am just going to do a random topic. We're going to just ask each other random questions. Not going to be long or anything. But, okay, so this one's actually a really good one. And it's... Okay. We need to name our segment too. We can think of that later. Like it's.
Yeah. If you guys have any good ideas, like after you hear this segment, if you have good ideas for a name, please like DM or email in, because we would appreciate it.
Right. We need some help on that, because we always have random like things, random rant.
Side combos.
Right.
So now we're like making it an intentional random rant.
Right. There you go.
Random rants.
Random rants. I kind of like it. So our random rant today is, if you could bring back one TV show that has been canceled, which one would you bring back?
Oh my gosh.
That's a good one.
This is hard. That's a really good one. I like immediately went back to childhood TV shows, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man. And I could only bring back one.
That
wow. Okay. Well, I have two different answers, because of course I do. One is from childhood and one is from recently as an adult. And by recently, I mean like 5 years ago.
Okay. That's fine. I will
childhood.
Okay.
I loved Sister Sister with Tia and Tamara Mowry on Disney.
Old.
Such a good show. They are so funny. Their mom, Lisa, was hilarious. I thought she was the funnest, coolest mom ever. Yes. Ever. Absolutely. I loved her. I would bring that back. Absolutely.
Love that. I think that's a good
And they had like their weird little friend, the guy that was like obsessed with them.
Roger.
Yes, Roger.
How could you forget about Roger?
It's, and they're like, so
go have Roger.
Yes. Like, it's just so funny. I loved it. I would sit there after school and just like, you know, play like 3:30 to 4 and then 4 to 4:30 and they play like two episodes back to back. I loved it. So that's my childhood answer. My recently as an adult answer, and I said it was 5 years ago. It's definitely older than that because this was college and I am 31. So I really hate that I just said this was 5 years ago.
I hate
Okay, so I love Nathan Fillion as an actor. He's super funny. He was in Castle, which was a TV series about an author who was like writing a book series about the police and like how they would solve crime. And he was paired with a police officer. Obviously, it was kind of like Bones-esque where like they were paired together and then they worked to solve crime together and then they fall in love and it was really cute. But I wouldn't bring back that. Now, let me keep. So that was a great show, but it ended perfectly. I don't need to bring it back. What I do need to bring back has Nathan Fillion in it, and it was called Firefly. Okay. And it's like a space cowboy adventure, right? And Nathan Fillion was in it. And they only had, I want to say, two seasons and a movie called Serenity. And definitely that show deserved more because it was so freaking good. I was shocked that it was, I'm shocked it was only two seasons. Like, it was just, all of it was confusing for me. If anybody on here has ever seen Arrow from the CW, there was like Deathstroke in season two. And then there was like the girl's Deathstroke also in season two. She was also in Serenity and Firefly. Like, it was just so good.
Okay. So you
great
just
show.
Like, okay.
Really good. I like the characters. I like the way it's literally like, it's like, kind of, it's like space cowboys for real. It's like a space western.
Okay.
And it was cool.
Okay.
I would bring that back.
You'd bring that back. I've never heard of it. I'm gonna have to Google it.
Oh my gosh, it's on Netflix. Enjoy. I think it's on Netflix. I'm gonna have to look
it up.
Probably
is. It probably is.
I haven't watched it in years. Years, but it's so good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I have two, but mine are from like older. But like, I loved Boy Meets World. Like. Miss Topanga, the freaking teacher, like
Mr. Feeny.
Like, so good. Like that, I would watch that all the time, and I just like loved their little like love.
Yes.
And like that was gold TV.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't they make a Girl Meets World or something?
They did.
I didn't watch
they
it.
They did. It was not as good as Boy Meets World, but it did have a lot of the original cast. Like Cory and Topanga, Eric,
did they come back
Sean,
for that?
They came back for it.
Oh,
and it was actually,
that.
Like, that was cool, but it was just a different vibe. It wasn't
was it
bad, but
Topanga's
I do think they
kids?
Also canceled it. Huh?
Was it Topanga and their kids?
Uh-huh. It was Cory and Topanga's kids. And they had a girl and a boy. And I want to say the girl's name was like, it started with an R, like Rowan or something like that. It was not bad, but I think they canceled it after like two seasons. I did watch it.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I need to. I just.
But it wasn't Boy Meets World.
Yeah. I just like. I don't think you can get rid of that. And I just remember growing up watching that on TV, and I was like, "It's just so like that is just so good." Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
And then I was also a big Saved by the Bell fan. Saved by the Bell.
That was so good.
Right. I mean,
love
like, that
Saved
is
by
funny.
The Bell.
It's just like comical, like high school, like. I don't know. It just is good TV. I don't feel like there's a lot of good TV anymore. Like that, like long, like sitcoms or whatever. But those are probably like my favorite.
Do you remember like you would wake up and you would watch like Saved by the Bell and then like immediately following it was like Dawson's Creek.
Yes.
And you just, it was like two solid hours of TV and you're just like, wow, this high school drama is intense. I'm only in fourth grade, but I can't handle this.
Did you ever watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yeah.
I love that. I'm like,
yes,
Sarah Michelle Gellar,
so good.
totally my jam. Like,
Well, let me
they
tell
have
you,
really good shows.
the only reason I actually ended up watching Buffy, and I'm like kind of sad to, well, I'm a little embarrassed to admit this, but also not because I don't feel bad about this at all. So I got into Bones, which was the
Oh,
TV show that had like
talking about
Zooey Deschanel's Emily Deschanel. And
yeah.
then I cannot remember his name for the life of me, but the guy that played Booth, the FBI agent that Bones ends up married to, I had the biggest crush on him. I thought he was so cute. And that's why I ended up watching Buffy because he played Angel.
I was gonna say, and he's a good
Yeah.
looking dude.
He's so cute. I
Yes.
was like obsessed with him.
Aren't
I
they
was
married
like,
in real
Booth is
life
the
or no?
perfect man.
No,
I
they're
don't
not.
think they're married in real life.
He's married to French, the
Yeah.
whatever his name is. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think they're married in real life, but they were so, like, I loved him
Ready?
in Bones. And
Yeah.
I thought he was so cute. And I was like, I have to watch everything that he's ever played in now
Yeah,
because that's what I
absolutely.
do. I will hyper fixate.
I'm dead. Okay,
Was great.
that was our random rant. Thanks for listening.
Oh my gosh, I love this. That was perfect. Just like a
Wasn't that
little bitty
funny?
section, because we typically go on these anyways, but at least this is like gives us
Concise.
something to talk about.
Right, or else like we'll be in big trouble and talking about like seven different things. So,
For like 40 minutes. There
right.
was, I'm pretty sure that you have had to cut out so much of the random rants when you edit these. Guys, again, kudos to Haiyan because she does all the editing. So she listens to these back and she's like, Bailey, we talked about this random Taylor Swift video that you saw for like 20 minutes one day. And when I say we talked about it, you talked
We
about
talked
it. So I
about,
cut it out.
yeah. No, my favorite one that I had to edit was when we had your friend Sade on, and we literally talked about golf for like 20 minutes. The poor girl was
It's
hungry. She's like, "Let me get
yeah.
off." We literally, like, it was like at least 20 minutes of you explaining
Oh
golf
yeah.
and like what's your number and like what's it mean. Like, bless her heart, she was like, "Get me
You
off.
knew it.
Get off."
What was also funny is that in our recap of life before that, I was catching up Sade because I hadn't seen her in forever on my personal life and dating. And she was like, wow, there is so much here. You had to cut out like the first 45 minutes.
Yes,
Because it was all
absolutely.
just that.
Yeah, we had to cut out a lot and a lot just to like make sure Bailey doesn't look like a crazy person.
Hard not
Hard.
to.
It's hard.
But
When
the
she gets
great thing about
married,
podcasts
you may have to
is
pull
you can
that
edit these recordings.
out. No, but it's so good. It was so good. But this was so fun. I was kind of glad. Like,
Yes.
the web has like crazy things, generators for everything. So like, don't
I
miss.
love this.
We like do another generator next week.
It'll happen. And speaking of next week, if you guys are interested, if you have a special education story, whether it's funny, happy, silly, or you know someone who should be on the podcast, you can contact us at our email. It is spadories@gmail.com. It's spedories@gmail.com. You can also find us on TikTok and Instagram at spadories, and you can shoot us a DM there as well as see all our videos. And Hyann, where can they hear our podcast?
You can listen to us on anywhere you listen to podcasts. So we're on Apple,
Anywhere.
Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. So tune in, and we drop a podcast every other Sunday. So we are just so excited to be back for season two. We've had a well-rested holiday and New Year.
Yes.
So thanks for listening, guys, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye, guys.